This week's episode is brought to you by beating up nerds who wear glasses. Wait, I wear glasses.
You get over here, Steve! No! I'm one of them now! That's the signal.
Yeah, I had the week.
Kiss me.
Yeah, I had the week off last week, so I was like, you know what? I'll go finally get my eyes checked, because every time I'd leave work, I'd be driving home and I'd be like squinting at streetlights. I was like, I don't know if I'm just blind at night or if my vision's going. And then, of course, I go and I do, you know, the thing where it's like, I am a little piggy fucking looking at the things.
I am a little piggy.
So I was looking at that. Of course, I was laughing to myself the entire time because that's all I was thinking. Like, I am a little piggy. But as I was looking through like...
One or two. No, that is a bad piggy.
Bad piggy. But yeah, I was looking. I had the right eye looking, and I was looking at the screen thing, because it's not just a board that has the giant E and then the rest of the shit anymore. It's like an actual computer thing. I guess technology's advanced since I went there in high school.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't had a sports physical in fucking years.
Yeah, I haven't had a physical in forever. And I haven't been to the eye doctor since, probably high school. But I was in there, and so I was looking. My right eye, I had, the second to the bottom, and I could still read the letter. So I was like, okay, so my right eye's still pretty good. I just can't read the bottom line. And then it switches over to the left eye. I'm like, I can't see shit!
Oh God! Why?
And so, the second highest line. I was like, I think that's a Z E N. I fucking know. I'm blind.
They're just like, nope. You failed already. Stop reading letters. You failed.
Yeah, but and it was so weird. So they take away all the lenses, and I'm sitting there looking at the wall, and it's all blurry. And then she goes, "This is what we're gonna give you." And all of a sudden, it's like, shh. Crystal clear. I'm like, so I am blind.
that is what I'm really afraid of in the future, is when my eyes start to shit, just because everyone in my family, my dad, mom, and sister, they all have glasses and varying degrees of just terrible eyesight.
Yeah.
So I know it's coming for me. Yeah. It's on its way.
Yeah.
And I've managed to go this long. That's what I'm even more afraid of. It's like, okay, so even right now as I'm sitting here, 2020, but then all of a sudden I'm going to be like,
yeah,
it's going to go bad.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm afraid.
Because, with my family, Doug doesn't wear them, but Chris does, and then my dad does, but my mom just wears cheaters because she's old, so she has, the reading glasses pretty much. So I figured I've had perfect vision my whole life, then all of a sudden in this last year, I'm like, I can't see.
Yeah, no, now I'm really afraid of turning 28, you fucker.
I mean, I don't mind wearing glasses, and I found ones that look okay, so I'm like, whatever. But
yeah, no, those look fine. It's just, I don't want to wear them.
I know. I miss having perfect vision where I can make fun of people who did have glasses, because my whole life I was like, I don't need them. I don't know why you need them. My eyes are perfect. And now it's like, nope, fuck you.
Yep, so now I have to take over for the both of us. Ha ha! Oh, you blind fuckers. Must suck.
Yeah. Anyway, hello, welcome to Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, no longer home of perfect vision.
2060, or whatever it is. I don't know. But we're going to talk about the Whitey Morgan concert that I went to last week. We'll talk about how Joe Rogan is a fan of Tyler Childers. And we are going to talk about the High Woman and have a little, probably mini debate on that, because I don't think we agree on everything. And then we're going to talk about Cody Jinx's album, Less Wise, but it's going to be the modified reissue 2017. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Correct. I couldn't find the original on vinyl, so I just bought the reissue, which is fine by me.
I feel like the last time you could buy that was 10 years ago at one of his concerts.
Yeah, I couldn't find 30 either, so I haven't bought that one yet. But I got the rest of them.
That one's not on vinyl either.
It's not on his website, and it's not on Amazon. No,
That's surprising. Because
you can buy the CD, just like the audio CD, but I was like, I'd do that. Well, maybe I will. We'll see. I need to give Cody Jinx more of my money.
That's true. Yeah, I only own two of his CDs, I believe. I think I bought... I can't remember. I've bought so many CDs... Like, no, not so many, but I have bought CDs in the last few years, but I haven't had a CD player in, like, 2 years.
So, yeah, I have... I think I have, like, 6 or 7 CDs just in the glove box of my car. Just for, you know, the odd time that I need to just listen to a CD instead of having, like, my phone plugged in.
Yeah.
But I always forget that they're in there, and then every time I open the glove box, I'm like, oh, hey, look! I remember when I bought this.
Yeah, like we both bought Jamie Lynn Wilson's album, even though I think my copy is still out at your place. I don't think I ever...
It certainly could be.
Yeah. But we just bought it just to support her, because, you know, she's awesome. But, yeah. Anyway, let's first hop into... the Whitey Morgan concert I went to last week. So I did another super loserific go to a concert by myself thing because Megan was hanging out with her friend from college. So I was just like, well, you know what? I'm not going to sit around here. So I looked on Facebook and I had a reminder of like, oh, Red Sheahan and Whitey Morgan's tonight at 7. I was just like, why? I think I can do that. So I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, like we talked about off air back, you know, this weekend, I was like, yeah, I would have come because that would have, you know, that's a great concert to go to. But also, I was really excited about doing absolutely nothing. So yeah. I only have minor regrets.
Yeah, and
there are still regrets. Yeah, and if they are minor.
Because I had, you know, put interested in on it probably 3 months ago or something. Mm. And I was just like, you know what? If it wasn't like me at noon sitting, because that was, I took the whole week off last week, which was fucking amazing. But
yeah, that sounds pretty
good.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I didn't do, other than working around the apartment and going to the eye doctor, I didn't do anything, and it was amazing. Or I worked out.
What
bunch,
a haul!
But I was just sitting there at like noon. I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go to this concert tonight. Or maybe I even said it like the night before or something. But I was just like, well, that's not enough time to give you like, hey, Kevin, take a half day. Come on, go to the concert with me. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go by myself. So I went to Hofbräu House, which is, I love that place so goddamn much.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
I got a burger, or they had like the pretzels with the beer cheese that I got, an appetizer, a little mini pretzel with that, and then I got a burger, and I got 2 32-ounce fucking beers. So I drank a gallon of beer before I went to the concert, and that was
just as God intended.
Yeah, that was amazing. But yeah, we definitely, hopefully another concert will come around there soon so we can go to, they also have, well, they have the Hofbräu House, which is obviously amazing, but then right across like that little, you know, field that they have there.
The thing that is sometimes an ice rink?
Yeah, sometimes an ice rink, sometimes it's grass. So they had a stage there, but no one was playing. I don't know, it was weird. But across there, there's a place called like Draft House or something, and it's just a huge bar with a wall of beers. I'm like, but now you're tearing... Now I don't know if I want to go to Hofbräu House and get a boot or go there where there's a million beers. It's impossible to choose.
See, that is difficult, but I still feel like I would have to lean towards with a group of people or just at least the two of us where you know you can finish a boot.
Yeah.
The boot is just, yeah. The boot is the boot.
And there's no Hofbräu House out there, whereas there's a million Draft Houses.
Yeah.
Not that specific chain, but there's a million Draft Houses where there's just a shit ton of beer.
I mean, we have, we got Beer Stube. Fuck, I could blank on the name.
Got Beer
so
Stube.
I've managed to get boots. But we don't get nearly as many boots anymore.
But then, yeah, we also, when we would get boots, we'd get boots of, like, Coors Light, because they didn't have any German, well, I mean, they had some German beer, but whereas Hofbräu House is a brewery, so they have their own shit. And I got their summer beer, which was a fucking amazing. It was so good. But, so we have, like, but then you also have Armored Gardens, which is the same thing of there's just a million fucking beers there, so you don't really, you're never...
What a place.
Yeah, you're never short on beer, so, yeah, Hofbräu House is definitely the choice of when we go to Rosemont. That was dinner. I sat there by myself like a cool kid just drinking a giant fucking beer by myself. Like, but then as I finished...
There's like, this guy's got problems.
Yeah, so I sat at like just a tall table by the bar because you don't have to, you know, have someone seat you or whatever. So I was sitting there, and then I got up and went to the bar for my second beer after I got done eating. And some girl was just like, I love your shirt. I love American Aquarium. I'm like, why do these people only exist, like, every little bit sporadically? Like, what the fuck? Because...
Well, they crawled out under from under the rock that they were under, and then came into public, and then immediately scurried back under.
Yeah, I, even though, obviously, I'm very happily taken and whatnot, I was at the concert, I saw just, like, random groups of, like, girls at this concert, I'm like... What the? Why weren't these girls existing when I was single, like at the Whitey Morgan fucking concert?
Well, especially that kind of concert. I mean,
yeah.
All right, let's begin the feminist angering here with. Usually, women don't want to go to a show like that.
Yeah.
Just in a group together.
And I saw one girl there alone. I was just
it's
like,
it's not White Claw Country. Yeah, why not, are they together? Yeah,
this is Jim Beam Country, not White Claw Country. but yeah, so, but then I got to the show. I got there right as Red hit stage because I wanted to finish my giant beer, and those don't take, you know, it took me an hour to finish two 32-ounce beers. But which to most
week,
yeah, I was gonna say to most people that's a lot longer of a time, and to some people it's less time. But 30 a gallon of beer in an hour, that's fine. But mm-hmm. So I stumbled my way over there because it hit me pretty quick. And then yeah, so Red hit stage, and I was standing right in front because there wasn't that many people left. Which if you look at our Instagram, I posted a picture of it. I was right there. And then once, so he was awesome because he sang, you know, he sang Culberson County, he sang, Men and Coyotes, I don't know, a bunch of shit. It was awesome. But then he got off stage and he was at his merch table. I went over and I chat with him for a little bit and I was like, yeah, what the fuck, man?
Very nice.
This is the third time I've seen you, but the other two times I've had to go to Oklahoma to see you. And he's just like, oh, you're going missing Stone again this year. I was like, nah, it's just too much for us. Like, it's hard for us to get down there, so sorry, we're not gonna see you again this year, but
yeah, it's just a lot of fucking time off, really.
Yeah exactly. And yeah, it's really not that bad of a drive. It's only 9 hours from your place, so it's 11 total for me. Like, it's not,
yeah,
not bad at all. But yeah, we figured we're gonna not go this year, but even though it sucks because American Aquarium's back this year and there's a I think Park McCollum's there also. And but,
and then, I mean, the obvious, no Turnpike, so...
Yeah, and I'm not... I don't listen to... who took over from...
Robert Earl Keane.
Yeah, I don't listen to Robert Earl Keane that much, so I was just like, it's not really that
Yeah, I would say I have a handful of his songs saved, and I recognize... You know, I recognize the name, and I recognize the sound and the music and all that stuff, and I know that there's a lot of people who really... love him, and we'll probably get some shit online for even saying that we don't know Robert Earl Keane that much.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. You know, my brain only has so much in it, and that's just not one of those things at this juncture.
Yeah, on it's just like how just recently someone commented on our Saddest Songs podcast, and it was just another comment of like, what about Chris Knight, this song? I'm just like... I'm sorry, we're not giant. We like Chris Knight, but I don't know that many of his songs. And
yeah,
but there's so many Chris Knight fans out there.
Yeah, and I do think that it's worth saying it, because I don't know how many times we've discussed it, but like, we are still, even though we've been diving into the world of Texas, Red Dirt, Oklahoma, you know, all this alternative country.
Yeah,
we've been diving into this world for several years now. We're still noobs by comparison to someone who, say, grew up in Texas and had it always available to them. It's just one of those things that just, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and then there's just no way to find out more about it. And so I think that there's probably a whole lot of artists that we probably don't know or only know a few songs from that someone would be like, well, what about this person? It's like, honestly, I don't know yet. I'm excited to learn more. For sure. That's one of the best things about this, you know, about just diving into this community of music, is that there's so much good stuff that you're almost overwhelmed with the prospect of trying to do it. It's like if someone said, you've never heard of this, you know, you've never heard of Game of Thrones. Why don't you just watch that entire show? And then, oh, you haven't seen The Wire. Watch that immediately after. It's like, that's a lot of time, bro. Yeah. You gotta give me some time.
Yeah, and even though we do know a lot of different music, we're by no means like Texas country experts. Like, people still introduce us to bands as much as we introduce other people to bands. Like, yeah,
we're also not professionals.
Yeah,
like the writers who write about it, and they, you know, they can just listen to music throughout the day and be like, this is actually like work. I have to stare at spreadsheets and find out how many TVs we sold.
Yeah, I have to listen to people bitch asking, where's my money? It's like, it's coming once your shit's ready. But
the answer is fuck you.
Exactly. But anyway, then obviously Whitey hit the stage and he opened up with bad news and it was awesome. And then, went into his usual jams and... it was funny because at one point he just, I don't know, I guess he was drinking or something on stage and he goes, you know what sucks about when I get drunk? I just want to play what I want to play. And so he went into 3 Waylon songs in a row. And I was just like, fuck yeah. Like he did T is for Texas. He did Waymore's Blues. And I was just like, those aren't even like A-side Waylon songs. I mean, they're popular Waylon songs, but they're not even like the ones that he's not doing Mama's Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up or... Like, you know, Hank didn't, or are you sure Hank done this way? Like, he was doing T for Texas and Waymore's Blues. I was just like, that's awesome. And then he sang, obviously, a bunch of his, you know, fucking hits from his newest album back to his old shit. And yeah, it was awesome. I left right before he ended. Like, I think I left during his finale because it was when they were jamming a whole bunch and shit. And it was, you know, almost 2 hours into the show. And then, but when I was front stage at the start of the concert, I moved back to grab another beer, and then I just was like, I don't feel like being that close. It's a small bar. You don't have to be that fucking close. So I went back there, and I'd taken a peek quickly at his set list just to see, and I saw that his encore, because it had a gap between the other songs, it was a Sinner, Me and the Whiskey, and... shit. Not... Is it Waiting Around
Today? Yeah, hold on.
But yeah, so I left right before the...
You were saying the encore, Waiting Around to Die, and Sitter. That's awesome. As everyone knows, because I've said it a bunch of times, Sinner is my favorite Whitey Morgan song, and it is such a goddamn jam.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
If it wasn't someone I'd already seen 3 or 4 times before then, because we went to Indy to see him. We saw him at Ribco. We saw him in Peoria. And I think that's it for me. Might be more.
Yeah.
But that's I remember at the top of my head. So
I think that's it. I saw him in Georgia. So 4 for me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was so if it hadn't been already the third time, I would have stuck around, but I was tired.
And yeah. Oh, for sure. So, yeah. And you're by yourself. So it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got home, passed out. But.
And died.
So, yeah. So next is, I saw it on, I don't know, Instagram or whatever. Joe Rogan posted a picture of Purgatory. And it's just like, this guy's fucking great. And I was like, I just wanted to point out, like, that's another ringing endorsement from a huge celebrity, like how Cody Jinks got pointed out by The Rock, and then...
That's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, like, Joe Rogan's another guy who probably has 100 fucking million people following him on Instagram. And then, because I looked at it, it had, like, 78,000 likes or something like that photo.
I remember I looked at it, and it was funny because it did have a buttload of likes, obviously, but it was significantly less likes than some of his other posts. So I was like, all right, so there are a bunch of fucks that follow him that are just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Country right, music, bleh.
Right, far right cuck, or whatever they call him.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that was a moment where he was, he's just an alt-right whatever the fuck. It's like, okay, man, take a fucking seat here.
Yeah, but... I just like it because he's had Chris Stapleton on the show. He's had Sturgill a few times. So those people have probably gained a little traction just from that. So having him also going from, like, small bars to, like, selling out bars to now he's going to probably be playing bigger arenas. Or not arenas, but bigger venues. And it's just cool that he gets that bump from a guy who has one of the biggest podcasts in the world, who it's consistently in the top 10, if not 5, podcasts on the internet, like... giving him a shout out. That's pretty awesome. So hopefully
he'll
be on the podcast soon. But
yeah, I think anytime people are letting other people know about great music, it is always a win. I obviously like Joe Rogan's content anyway too, so that's cool, and I would love to listen to his pod if Childers ever got on it. Which I don't think is a weird thing. Like, I would imagine that it's probably pretty likely at this point that he would go on there. I feel like they would fucking smoke it up and talk about the universe and weird shit. And I think I'm all about it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's really cool, and hopefully that happens again soon. So moving on to the topic.
The Thunderdome.
Never mind, not the topic. We're moving on to the other thing. I just forgot to write it down.
The Thunderdome.
So the High Woman, High Woman? I don't know.
High Woman.
They have three tracks out now. High Woman, something about girls.
Crowded building, Table, I believe. And then Redesigning Women.
Redesigning Women, and then yeah, Crowded Table. I listened to them on the way to work today in the order that they're listed. So High Women, Redesigned Women, and Crowded Table or whatever. And I was just bored the first two songs. Like, they're country songs, which I understand. They're stone cold country, but I don't like them. I liked Crowded Table a lot. I really did like that song. But the first
And that's fair. I really liked, I've liked all of them. I think they get a really neat sound when they're all harmonizing together. But I also really like that, to me, Brandi Carlile's voice kind of like sticks out even when they're harmonizing. And I love that because I think she's incredible. I really liked all of it, and so I thought it was funny when I saw on the internet that there were a lot of people that were, like, really angry. Because, like, the thing that, the reason I texted you that we had to talk about it is because they did the song High Woman, and it's a redo of Highwayman, you know, or Highwaymen, whatever they called their song. And there was a bunch of people that were really pissed. And, like, I saw comments from people that were saying, like, this is worse than, like, Mitchell Tenpenny. I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Like, even if you, like, because like you said, like, you just were bored by it, that's completely fine. That's a rational, it's just not my thing take. And that's totally understandable. You're not going to get everyone to like everything. But the people that were just like, it's an offense to country music everywhere that they're whatever. I'm like, okay, it would be a really annoying thing if they took the Highwaymen song, like the actual one that they did back in the day, and did a word for word redo of it. Mm-hmm. The fact that they rewrote it and made it their own thing, I thought was great because it was still a fucking stone cold country song, so you can't be pissed off about them turning it into a shitty pop song. And two, like I said, it would be really annoying if they just covered it, and because like they've been talking about how they don't want to be just, you know, considered a redo of the Highwaymen, their own thing. So redoing that song is kind of an interesting choice, but at the same time, the fact that they did it different, I'm like, no, it's a country as fuck song, and I have no problem with it.
Well, that's where my complaint with the song comes in, because I first heard it, and I was just like, it sounds like the song, so I was like, I don't know if it's just a quick tribute or if they did it, but it's like just a complete redo of the song. But the annoying thing about it is, all right, like, I didn't know that quote where they're like, they want to do their own thing, they don't want to be them, but they redo a song. And the thing about it is they're acting like they're all talented people. I'm not trying to shit on them. They're all talented. They're all great. They're all, you know, they have their fan bases. But they're acting like they're on the same level as the Highwaymen. The Highwaymen is four of the greatest country legends of all time getting together and singing songs together. These are just four women who just, it's three country stars and a pop star getting together and singing songs, acting like they're on that same level as them, and they're feminizing something that wasn't an issue before. It's not like both songs, those first two that I was bored by, I was bored because the album might as well be called Feminism or Bust. Like, it's the Highwaymen one, it's like they're making something that was just a song about four types of people who exist in the world into were four women doing four women things. And then the Redesigning Women was just, it's the stereotypical woman anthem of we're not stereotypical women thing.
And I put it as, I don't see it as anything different than I don't want to use Shania Twain as an example because her music bugs the shit out of me anyway, so that's just not a good comparison. But something like
she's 90s country.
It would be, like, I'm just thinking, like, at, like, just a rational brain, just thinking that if these people got together to sing a song together and they didn't have these leanings in the lyrics, I would be very confused by it. So I'm not going to be upset at them for doing it. It's like the same thing with Jason Isbell. When Jason Isbell makes a song that he's upset about this, that, and the other thing because of his, you know, political leanings, I know him, and I know that that's what he thinks, and so it'd be really weird for him to go contrary to that. So that's what I look at with them, is like, if they didn't have a song that was basically a woman anthem, why did they get together to make an album?
My only thing is the first two tracks off the album are both that. Like, it's not one and then moving on.
Yeah.
It would be like, so if that's Jason Isbell's Nashville Sound had like four songs that were pretty much that White People Suck song.
Yeah, I also think that might also be because of the fact that you listened to them today just in a row. Because Redesigning Women was the first one I heard, and I heard it several weeks ago. And then I listened to High Woman and Crowded Table the other day when I realized they were both out. And so I kind of took it differently, where I was like, okay, they got Redesigning Women. It's their woman anthem. It was obviously going to be the first song they put out there as a group. And I was more struck by the fact that it was not pop at all. Like, that was my first thought, was thank God they're these people that got together with Maren Morris as one of the figureheads didn't make a shitty pop song. Like, that was really all I thought about. And then I listened to the other ones, and I'm like, okay, so this is clearly the sound they're going for. It's going to be a country sound. I don't have any problems at all.
I agree, but it's like, I think of that, and then I think of the Pistolanis are doing it better. They just sing Stone Cold country songs, and they're not sitting there trying, like, other than, like, I Got My Name Changed Back, but that's just a breakup song in a way. It's just a divorce song.
I also don't know if I agree with you when you're saying that they're trying. Beyond just the name of the group, which I'll give you that, but beyond the name of the group, I don't think they're trying to, like, say that, look, we're just like the Highwaymen. We're four superstars getting together to make a supergroup. I think it's the people who write about them that are portraying them in that light.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's really just where I'm coming from, is that I listen to their songs, and the songs themselves, I'm like, I got no issues here whatsoever. I don't understand the hate. But that's also just like, I don't care about their feminist anthem just as a thing. Like, I don't really care about it, but I listen to it. I'm like, no, this sounds great.
Well, yeah, I guess if I don't go on Twitter ever, other than when to post shit from our Twitter account. And I guess it was more of, I'm seeing it as, I know, like, that fucking Melissa Moss or whatever her name is, she's gonna just praise this
For
years.
Sure.
And then, and so everyone's gonna say, like, how this is the album of the decade and all that.
Yeah, and they're gonna
overblow it because of the feminist.
Yeah, and I have seen already, like, you know, back and forths between people in a woke off about who cares more about how they're fucking doing this, that, or the other thing. And so I'm honestly just ignoring all of that shit, because there's plenty of that in the world anyway. Like literally Jason Isbell got in a fucking Twitter argument with Ben Shapiro this week. So there was a whole bunch of people staking fucking their ground, yelling back and forth at each other. I'm like, I don't give a fuck at all about this, because Jason Isbell is an incredible musician, and I know he has the feelings that he has, and I'm not going to let that ruin the music for me. I'm not going to fucking do it. So I guess I'm just kind of, I don't know. I've gotten so sick of people doing that, you know, stick to music shit. It's like, do you know what music is, man? Like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Remember how John Lennon always stuck to music and didn't?
Yeah, it's just nonsense to be upset at someone for singing like a protest song, because that's fucking like most of the popular music of the last 100 years are protest songs.
Exactly. What the fuck was I gonna say?
Women bad.
Women bad, men good, America.
Which is also what this fucking, like, our entire argument's probably going to get boiled down to for someone who's like, they're just talking about how women shouldn't be allowed to sing in public. And you know what? That's right. No.
What I was going to say was how Kacey Musgraves has now become, like, the icon of gay people. And it's just like, one, she's straight and she's married to a man, unlike some Brandi Carlile. Is actually a lesbian.
Yeah.
And, like, But somehow, just because she puts out a fucking album that has a song called Rainbow on it, and it's all pretty and colorful, and she dresses weird.
No, it's because she had that disco song, and so everyone was like, I'm a country fan now because there's a disco song. And it's like, it's a disco song.
Which I like that song, but suddenly that album's like record of the year and all.
It's it really bugged me that Kacey Musgraves won the overall album of the year because Brandi Carlile's album is superior in every way, and that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact.
Then, and then because you can already see that this is going to win collaboration of the year, group of the year.
Oh, for sure, it's going to win a bunch of things
because it's going to be that whole thing of how people always complain that there's no women in country, which is a valid argument. I'm not
belittling
that, but they're going to overcompensate by giving this everything.
Yes, I reserve the right to be annoyed in the future after the album is completely released, and then I get to witness the reaction to it. So I want to put that out there. But my current thought is really, I mean, honestly, my whole stance really is just that the people who say that it's worse than the shitty pop country just because they're angry about what they have to say is like, just fucking grow up, man.
Yeah, that's where the argument of your fragile masculinity is going to come into play.
And that's what bugs me. It's like, fuck off. I just fuck off, man. Yeah. Just fuck off.
Exactly. Anyway, so we're going to get hashtag canceled. Before that,
not the first time.
Let's talk about some Cindy Jonks.
Let's do it.
So when did the original version of the album come out?
There was a year, and it was
the year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord. I want to say fucking
probably like 07 or some shit.
I was actually going to say even later. I was going to say maybe even like 9 or 10, but fuck
Cody
if I know.
Jinx. Let's see.
I should know this, probably. 2010, I was right.
Oh, look at you.
Well, at least according to Genius, it's 2010.
Yeah, according to iTunes, it is too. We're talking about the new one because it's just... I was thinking about how I would think if some people complain about like how this was re-released, and it's just like, and then I was thinking also at the same time, if you look up Mama Tried or Sing Me Back Home by Merle Haggard on
there's a
Spotify
thousand
or iTunes,
versions.
There's many, many versions of each song. Like, so this isn't a new thing. Like how Brantley Gilbert, his initial release of, was it Kicking in the Sticks was what that album was called? No, Halfway to Heaven.
Yes, Halfway to Heaven. Correct.
When that album was released, and then he re-released it with new tracks, and he redid all the songs, it's not a new thing that people are
doing. Yeah, but, and also, if anyone's pissed off about him re-releasing it, I would bet a lot of money that if you just blind tested someone on which version was which, they would fuck up half of them. Because he does a really, he does a very faithful redo of everything on here, and then even had the niceness to have a couple different versions and have them separate. Yeah, have them as separate tracks. It's not like he redid Hippies and the Cowboys and had a completely new version that was the only version on the album.
Yeah, it's just the same song in a different key.
Use your music on me.
We're not going to put the previews of those two in there because we're already going to talk about them earlier in the album. But the other 11 we will be talking about a lot. So let's just hop right into it.
Skirt indeed.
Number one is off the album Leswise Modified Reissue 2017 is a song by Cody Jinks called No Time.
I've got no time to think of the time that I've let go. I've got no time to think of the time you spent alone. Got no time to think of the years I know, all the times with you, how they come and go. Got no time to think of the time that I've let go. 10 years gone, and I'm
perfect timing with the word no time for the poor connection to rear its head and ruin everything. Yay, you're back. Yes, no time. I'm going to blanket statement the entire album and just say this song's amazing, because all of them are amazing, and I don't need to say that for every single song. So I'm just going to say that one time. Hopefully I don't repeat myself. I probably will. But this song is kind of about, from the perspective of just being on the road a lot. This whole album has that feel to it. Like, it's an early album for him. I'm guessing he's been touring a lot, just trying to get shows, you know, playing a million different shows. And so this song, you know, the chorus, he says, I've got no time to think, you know, the time that I've let go, I've got no time to think, the time you've spent alone. So he's thinking about his lady at home, and he's just been off on the road for time, you know, just a bunch of time, and he's got some regrets about it, but he's also like going, and so he doesn't even have like time to think about the fact that he's, you know, out and about and such. And it's just real nice. Real nice, like.
Getting there all nice and deep, like.
Getting there nice and deep, like.
Yeah, so next up is track number 2, a song by Cody Jinks called Wake Up Becky.
I need to hear your voice, you know I'm all alone. And this is what I say to you, if you pick up that phone. Must be fast asleep, not thinking about me, or you're already gone. Wake up, Becky. Becky, I'm almost home.
Yeah, and so this one is, like I was saying, it's very similar, where I believe...
It's about Becky drinking White Claws.
She's like, God damn it, Becky, wake up.
And then she passed
up.
Out from drinking You're not... too many White Claws.
You shouldn't have drank so many White Claws, you dumb bitch. No. so this song, I believe, is from the same perspective, where he's on his way back home from touring, but also... I can't totally tell if he's referring to just he's up at night and he's like trying to call like an ex that he wants to visit, or if it's really that he's just been out on the road and then he's concerned about if she even cares about him anymore and if she's just forgotten about him. Because he's got the, you know, the line in the chorus where he says, you must be fast asleep, not thinking about me, or you're already gone. And then wake up, Becky, Becky, I'm almost home. I don't know if he's talking about someone that's just a relationship's been fractured, or if it is just I've been out on the road this whole time and I'm coming home, please be there still when I get home, but you might have just said, yeah, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Number 3, I don't have anything to add to that, so I don't know if you have
respect anything. No, that's good.
RSPCK. Number 3 is one of his most well-known songs, is Hippies and Cowboys.
Raising hell with the hippies and the cowboys. They don't care about no trends, they don't care about songs that sell. Yeah, tomorrow I'll be gone.
This is such a great song because it's a thing that I don't think is acknowledged all that much in the community, just in the country community, of just that, you know, speaking of, like we were talking about before, like you've got people like Jason Isbell who obviously have a certain political affiliation, and then you've got all these other people on the other side of political affiliations, but then this music is the land to bring us all together, and the people that wouldn't necessarily hang out are all jamming together and having a good time because they just care about good music. And so that's what Hippies and the Cowboys is all about, is he's making the songs that he wants to make, and he's really comfortable just hanging out with the hippies and the cowboys, and because they don't give a shit about, I mean, like he says in the songs, they don't give a shit about this, that, and the other thing. I didn't pull up the lyrics, so I'm fucking up what he actually says, but...
Yeah, it's like the Drunk American song by Toby Keith, and it's like, well, what they say is they don't give a shit when they talks about that part. He's talking about they don't give a shit about, like, number ones and about if it's a hit or not. They're just here to sing all the songs.
Yes.
And so it's also, I like it because not only is it, yeah, it's a, there's the liberals and conservatives, the hippies and the cowboys get together and they sing the same songs. It's also a protest song where it's just like, these people, I like hanging out with them because they drink $2 beers and $3 wells at these little dive bars, and they just get together and they want to listen to some Stone Cold Country. They don't care if you went number one or not. They don't care if your songs are hits, if you're selling millions of records. They just want to get together and sing country music. And I love that because, on top of it being a get-together song, it's a protest song at the same time, and it's fantastic.
Yes, because as he said famously, fuck Nashville, we'll start our own damn club.
Exactly. Which, that shirt hasn't gotten taken down yet, so we'll see.
Nice.
Next up is number four, 65 Days in L.A.
We went out there searching for something. Instead, we all got lost. Heading out west and the plans were going south. Never counted no cost. By the time I hit Arizona, I was on my way to sea. 65 days in L.A. is enough for me.
This song sums up exactly how I feel being in the city.
Yeah, I think I think it's as simple as, you know, going out to L.A. to try to, you know, make the music and become a big deal or whatever. But then he's just like, you know, the end of the first verse says it all, where he's just like, you know, that California summer wasn't that hot. So he's just like, fuck that shit. And then like the end of the third verse, well, I guess at the end of the second and third verses is just, you know, but 65 days in LA is enough for me. I love the idea of just fuck this place that everybody goes to try to make it. It's, I mean, he talks about how it's like fake and everything that people say about it is not, you know, it gets a reputation that isn't totally accurate. Like, he talks about, like, you know, stepping over bums on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And shit like that. It's just like, it's really not, you know, it's really not what you think it is. And like the very first line of the song is just, all I did was drink all day in that hell they call LA. And I'm like, yes, I love it.
Exactly. It's a fantastic, yeah, I love it. Moving on to number five is Somewhere in the Middle.
But I learned more on the freight docks, dropping forklifts on a 3 o'clock a.m. shift in the wintertime. Man, it got cold. Selling guitars on the west coast, going hungry. Chasing ghosts around and around we would go. And I saw it all, tending bar at night, treating saints and sinners right is a good thing to do all the time. You never know who you're talking to, but always know who's watching you. Keep your feet moving straight down the line.
This is, and, you know, kind of similar to Hippies and the Cowboys in a sense, where he's kind of talking about, you know, beyond just the obvious political bit, is just the doing okay, you know, the hardworking folks who are just trying to provide for their family, you know, just do work hard, do something you can kind of enjoy and enjoy it. But then I love that the chorus is him talking about all these different, like, jobs and things that essentially humbled him and taught him, you know, the value of work and time and money and all that shit. Because, you know, the chorus just starts with, you know, but I learned more on the freight docks, driving forklifts on the 3 o'clock a.m. shift in the wintertime. Man, it got cold. Selling guitars on the west coast, going hungry, chasing ghosts around and around we would go. And then I saw it all, tending bar at night, treating saints and sinners right. It's a good thing to do all the time, because you never know who you're talking to, but always know who's watching you. Keep your feet moving straight down the line. I think it is a really awesome chorus where he's like, he's rattling off this, he's talking about how he's, I mean, the next song is funny, it's called Been Around, which is, you know, talking about what he's saying here. He's been through some shit, and he's seen the world from these different perspectives, and he's learned some things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a great one of those I learned lessons the hard way type songs.
Yeah,
America. Yeah. Number six, moving on, is Been Around.
I'm dancing in the flames, I've been burned. I walked on the hardest side of life. I've taken all the wrong turns. I've been around, I've been down, and I've been wasted. I fight with myself, sometimes I lose. I got the angel on my shoulder, but I've got the devil too. I get down, I get around, and I get wasted.
Yep. This is, I believe, if this fucking lyrics would load so I could actually read them. I think that's why my fucking internet on my phone is taking a dump, is because I'm trying to use this ancient iPad and it's just infecting my internet everywhere. Because that's the only way that is possible. But the thing I love about Been Around is the I've been, where he's, like, he wraps up the chorus with, like, I've been something, and I've been wasted. It's just funny.
You're funny, bitch.
Yeah.
The lyrics are...
There we go. I found them now.
America.
So, like I was saying, with Somewhere in the Middle, where he's seen things. He's worked. He's done a lot of shit, and he's learned life lessons because of that. And so in the chorus, he's kind of, you know, wrapping that up, where he's saying, you know, I've danced in the flames and I've been burned. I've walked on the harder side of life. I've taken all the wrong turns. I've been around, I've been down, and I've been wasted. I love it. I think it's great. And, you know, towards the end, he starts talking about, you know, he's, the line that really I think is neat is where he says, I fight with myself, sometimes I lose. I got me an angel on my shoulder, but I've got the devil too. It's just this, you know, this balance that he kind of hints at throughout the record. But then, you know, it all comes back to the, you know, learning life lessons, and like he says, he's been around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. All these songs, pretty good. Next up is number seven, Last Call for the Blues.
They say, why don't you quit drinking? We're always acting like a clown. We all see your ship's been sinking. Just slowly going down. You've been running for so long. You ain't got no time to lose. Better right all your wrongs. The last call for the blues.
So this, I believe, is coming from the perspective of a guy who, like, he says at the beginning of the song, you know, people say, you know, you're good for nothing. They've said that, you know, for years or whatever. And so I believe he's talking about a guy who's had a bit of a rough go for it, you know, of it for a while, but he's kind of been complaining and not helping himself for so long that it's kind of like, at this point, you've got to just get your shit together, otherwise you're done. And so I don't know exactly beyond that. I just really like the idea of, you know, he's looking back and, you know, he's... You know, like the I'll just fucking read the chorus. I'll do that. How about I do that? And they say, why don't you quit drinking? You're always acting like a clown. We all see your ship's been sinking, just slowly going down. You've been running for so long. You ain't got no time to lose. You better right in all your wrongs. Last call for the blues. So that's why it seems to me like he's had a rough time for a while, but now it's kind of like, well, You're running on empty. You either got to get it fixed now or just fucking you're done.
Yeah. It's fantastical. Moving on to... Wait, nope. That's the one we just did. Number eight is Curse the Sky.
Oh, it burns. Yeah, it burns. Oh, it burns.
the things you know to just to make it day by day. You can hear the kids are crying, but there's just no time to play. You work the way you know how, just the way you've always done. And you'd like to curse the skies that bring no rain and block the sun. And it burns.
I am a fan of any sort of like reference to the farmers and like the Dust Bowl and just, you know, farming plights in general. I don't know why. I just maybe just growing up where we did, where there's farm fields everywhere. But so like this song, he's talking about, you know, the rain won't come when you want it, and then when you think the rain's gonna come, lightning comes down and just burns your field, and it's just like, what the fuck? And then so he's just like cursing the sky because it, you know, when you call for rain it doesn't come, and then you can have too much and the land is just a dickhead to you. And I just really like the
that's the actual lyric.
Land, yeah, the land is just a dickhead. I really like the words that he uses, the way he kind of like paints the picture. You know, the line that the river roars with laughter as it strips away the pasture land, the home. Fuck my brain. The river roars with laughter as it strips away the pasture land, the home you built and work for your own hands. So everything you built washed away by nature, because like I said, is a dickhead.
Nature's a dickhead. Kevin Hodge, 2019.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, yeah, it's fantastic. I always love those like Amarillo Sky type songs, or Cloud of Dust by Brad Paisley, or what's the one by fucking John D. Hale Band?
More Than I Can Handle.
More Than I Can Handle. Yeah, yep. It's just, yeah, songs like that, they're fantastic. And
yeah, farmers having a rough time.
Yeah,
love it.
Because he can't get his because he can't get his White Claw open.
Exactly. Ran out of White Claws. And the swim-up bar I'm at doesn't even have Wi-Fi.
Exactly. Number nine is Love Letters and Cigarettes.
Love letters and cigarettes. It's been 3 years and I can't forget. And wrap this chain around my neck for good. I memorized every word you wrote. And each night they go up in smoke. It's true. Still not done with you. Oh no. Still not done with you. Big screen waits for you.
So this, I believe, so I should have also mentioned on Last Call for the Blues, it's one of the only, there's only a couple songs they didn't write. So, Scott Copeland wrote Last Call for the Blues, and Nate Kipp wrote Love Letters and Cigarettes, and then obviously Hank Williams Jr. wrote Whiskey, Bent, and Hellbound, which we'll get to later. But so this is not written by him, but I really like... I really... Sorry. Go back and rewind and ignore that I said that.
exactly.
But, like, it's a, you know, a song about a guy looking back through all these letters... that he had written or received, you know, probably received from a lover that is no longer, they're no longer together. And so it's him, you know, chain smoking cigarettes and reading these things and having regrets and being sad. And it's nice. Sad song's great.
Yeah. I really love the, Daryl Dodd did that. The Last Ride album where he sang every song with an artist, and he did this with Cody Jenks. And
yeah, I really like
that version.
I really like that version too.
Yeah. Next up is track number 10, Less Wise.
It's always c'est la vie. I try not miss the forest for the trees. And now we're what we did not think we'd be. A little bit older, a little less wise.
you get a little old.
This song is incredible. I know that I said I wasn't going to say it, but...
I like how it's like the, even though I'm getting older, I'm getting dumber type thing.
Yeah, I because I feel like this poem is like, this poem, shit, that ruined the thing I was going to say. This song to me is really like a poem. Like, that's how I take it in. And then my iPad just took a dump and is reloading that page because it took a dump. Cool. But yeah, a song, you know, he's talking about, you know, he references a bunch of different people's names and talks about how they don't keep in touch nearly as much as they used to, and they haven't seen this person, and you know, the guy who was rowdy, who knew that he'd be the first one with a kid, and it's just the way that it wraps up, where he says it's always c'est la vie, the French thing, where it's just like, that's life, and then he says, try not to miss the forest for the trees.
I think you mean, and c'est la vie.
C'est la vie, c'est la vie, whatever, it's French. Shit is fucking French, man.
You know what, I surrender.
You know, what I should have said? It's always c'est la vie. Because that's how it's, because that is how it's spelled.
C'est la vie.
But then, yeah, well, like you were saying, you know, you get a little older, a little less wise. You get a little older, a lot less wise. It's just, it's interesting. It's the idea that just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you're just gaining wisdom from out of nowhere. I think it's just it's a really cool thing. And then, you know, the line that starts it and ends it is, time is gold and it only goes by in waves of strangers. And so the way that he, you know, says, so time is gold, time is the only thing that has value. And then it goes by in waves of strangers. And so then he starts talking about how these strangers become part of your life, but then all of a sudden they leave. And then it's just a really interesting look at just aging, really.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Tracks number 11 and 12, as we said before, they're just like different versions of Hippies and Cowboys and Somewhere in the Middle. It's pretty much him just singing in a different key at a different pace type thing.
Yeah.
They're really good. It's just we don't really have to get into them there.
Oh, yeah, and I like the originals more just because they're the ones that I think of, and so I don't really seek out those all that often, I would say, unless I'm just listening to this album start to finish.
Yeah. But track number 13, the final track, is a cover of Hank Jr.'s Whiskey Bent and Hellbound.
Play me a song about a rambling man, and put a cold one in my hand, because you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. But don't you play your cheating heart, that'll tear me all apart. When I get a whiskey bent and hellbound.
Which is about, it's about
bending whiskey,
not drinking whiskey and making sure to do abstinence. That's
drinking,
what it's about.
Drinking water and going to bed early.
but yeah, no, Whiskey Bent and Hellbound, pretty famous song. I thought it was an interesting choice that he put it on here just as a song that seems very contrary to a lot of the themes of the album. I thought it was kind of weird, but I mean, he does a really good job with it and it's a great song, so I'm not upset. It's just, you know, interesting.
Yeah, I think my favorite cover, I don't know, you froze, so I might have missed you say this, but
yeah.
My favorite cover that he does is the Pink Floyd cover. I think it's better than this one.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, this is obviously a fantastic song, and Hank Jr., you know, it's great, so.
Words.
I don't know if you have anything else to say about this album, otherwise, move on.
The things I have to say are...
Listen to Cody
that
James.
It is an album, and it is here.
True. That is true. So moving on to our newest segment is the number one Kutcher song of this week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. This week, we are going back to 1988, 3 years before me was born.
What a time.
America.
To not be alive. Ho-ho!
This song was number one the week of August 13th, 1988, was Keith Whitley's Don't Close Your Eyes.
Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't
This makes me think of the fact that one of the super shitty dumbasses did a cover of this. But it's actually, I think it's actually a good cover. I don't know if I can remember listening to it or not. But what's his face?
Chris Young covered it, but that's a really good cover.
Fucking
actually.
Just recently. What's his face? Fucking Dylan
Carmichael.
No,
he's good.
No,
Dylan
he's good.
Scott.
Yes, that one.
Smush face guy.
Yes, I was trying to remember that part. Actually, I was actually trying to remember his name. It's like he's fucking. He's got a weird looking face. What's his deal? Yeah, no, he did a cover of this. And I believe is actually, I believe he actually did a Faithful cover. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I have listened to it, so I could be lying.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is a great song. We've talked about it a couple times on this podcast. Keith Whitley's great. Died too soon.
Yep.
But yeah, this is just a. Did we do it on the Love?
I had it on the set. I think I had it on my saddest songs list.
What's the saddest? Yeah, I knew we've
yeah,
had it because
it's him. Before. You know, he's his wife is or his lady or the person that he's banging doesn't give a shit about him and is banging someone else.
He's saying, don't
and so
think
he's just
about
like
me.
Just pretend it's me for a bit, and it's just super tragic to just be like, I just need to like just for a moment be here with me, and it's just he is incredible and I love him. But the reason I brought up the fucking smush face doing a cover is that with that cover happening and then also Morgan Wallen covering Jason Isbell's Cover Me Up, there's apparently a mainstream desire to listen to music that doesn't suck giant dicks, so I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. Other than the fact that I could not give less of a fuck about either of those two people.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's a great song. Everyone should listen to it. Keith Lee's great. Albums the last week. This has been kind of a slow month. I haven't gotten too many, but there was one that came out last week that was really, really good. Just got to find it again. I just went away from it. Oh, it was Cliff Cody's A Mess Like Me. It was fantastic. I know I sent it to you. I don't know if you actually listened to it yet or not.
I have not listened to it yet.
It'll probably be... Oh. It's yeah.
Yeah,
it's
and
really
you froze, and then my words were coming out, and then your words were coming out, and then everything got fucked up.
It's really funny because every time you freeze, like you'll be like say your mate saying the sentence, "I'm going to go make a ham sandwich." It'll be like, "I'm going to make a ham sandwich."
No, that's actually how I talk. I don't know if you do.
That's went to the Will Shatner School of Acting.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So that's the only one that I saw that came out last week. So that's it for this week. You can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, Country Hodgepodge, Spotify playlist. We have the Hodgepodge Guest Picks where we upload each song we talk about each week except for the albums and the best of the months. You can find those at This Month in Country where we upload the albums that come out that month that you should listen to. And then they migrate over to 2019 in country where we can listen to every single good album that's come out this year that you should be checking
everything.
Out. Everyone. And then also Kevin's Picks of the Week where each week or each month or each year, whenever he decides to do it, he'll upload 10 songs that you should be listening to. You can find that on a link through the website. We tweeted
out. You know what's funny about that is I just perennially throw songs onto a playlist that I have that's just called Potential Picks that I can use to update the actual list so that whenever I want to update it, I don't have to like stop and think about 10 songs. And I think that playlist has like 20-something songs on it now because I just keep throwing shit over there. But I keep forgetting to actually update the actual playlist that everyone can see. So that is my bad, and I promise to fix that sometime in the future.
Anyway, on TeePublic, you can get our shirts. It's also a link through the site if you want to go through that way. We got White Claw Country, which is selling like hotcakes. We got Fuck Nashville. We got the Americana Powerhouse, which actually I sold a few more of this week, so that's awesome. You can find Kevin on Twitter at CHP_charge, where he yells at clouds. And then you can rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It'll help us get found. We're also on SoundCloud and Stitcher. So thank you to everyone who's been listening. We'll have a good, cool announcement soon that everyone should listen into if you like spurts. But that's it for the... that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Sam Hunt. So, so until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.